Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today we're going to go over the news of Carey Price taking some time away from the game. We're going to go over some Blackhawks lines and what we've seen in the preseason games. And we're going to take it from there. So before we get started, do us a favor, give us a follow on Twitter and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. So Matt, today, bomb dropped. Carey Price is taking time away. It looks like he's having some issues. And to be honest with you, this is becoming a common story. You know, in professional sports these days, I think a lot is being asked of players and athletes in general on who they are and what they give to the team. So for instance, let's go back to the 80s. Essentially what you did is you showed up to the game, you got paid, and maybe did a little charity here and there, show up for a couple of events. That's pretty much it, man. Nowadays, you have sports shows dedicated to you. You have podcasts dedicated to you. You've got everybody under the sun who has a voice can essentially talk about you and your play and all of these things. And I would imagine that after a while of being tugged here and there, you have to do this charity, you got to sign up for, you got to go to this event, you know, you got to go hold these babies, you got to go ride bikes with, you know, these kids. And then you have to show up for season ticket holder events, wine events, you know, you're hosting these types of things. And then on top of that, you've got to train and then you have to play. And then they ask you not to get, you know, sidetracked, you know, what's wrong with them. You know, after a while, a lot of these guys, man, they don't really have a lot of time to themselves, because when the season's over, maybe they do a few podcasts, maybe they try to relax a little bit, and then they start training for the next season right after that. What's your opinion on what is asked of athletes these days? And do you think that the demand and maybe like the pull that these players are getting from, you know, their fans and the media and their the respective organizations is really out of line?
Well, we can just jump right in with Carey Price. I mean, they're asking a lot from him in Montreal. I mean, if Carey Price was playing in, you know, say Arizona, the pressure wouldn't be that bad. But, you know, here's a guy that's making $10 million a year. He's got a beautiful family. He just made it to the final. And you know what? You never know what's going on inside a guy's head. You know, he seems like he's drained. And there's a ton of pressure on any goalie, and it's probably worse in that city because it's like one of the hockey capitals of the world, you know. And, you know, he's like you said, the people on Twitter and all the social media, you know, they're rough. They're a rough crowd, man. And I'm sure these guys look at this stuff, like even like Seth Jones, it's like 50-50 debated here, like, 50% of the Hawks fans like him. 50% are just bashing him all the time. And it's like, why? He hasn't even played one game yet. And you're like hating on the guy. And what if he's reading that stuff? You know, it's got to weigh down on some of these guys. I mean, they don't, honestly, he doesn't owe us anything. He's just doing his job. And it's rough. I feel for Carey, man, because it's a very, very tough city to play in. And being a goalie there, you can, like, I'm sure Patrick Wass had the same problems there. It's tough, and the pressure is just insane. So I hope he takes this time and, you know, gets his head right and spends some time with the family and recharge it, I guess you could say, and, you know, jump back in net, because he's a huge part of that team.
I don't think he's coming back, man. He's played 15 years as a goalie in that city, man. That's a long time, man. You might as well even say that the stress from that is like 22 years of stress for playing, well, being a goalie, and asking of him what Montreal asked of him as a player. Dude, he's their identity, essentially, there. And
yeah, Carey Price is the Canadiens. Yeah.
And they're nothing without him. They would not have made it as far as they did last year in the playoffs without him, period. They won't. And to be honest with you, no. They're probably not going to do a thing this year because I don't see, I just don't see it there in Montreal. Who do they have? Cole Caulfield? Now look, I'm going to have to put this out there because as a hockey podcaster, I'm just an air chair, you know, just an armchair GM that's giving my opinion. In no way do I feel, do I not like any of these players the way that I talk about them personally. I like all of these guys. I respect who they are. And more importantly, I respect who they are as an athlete and what they've done to get to where they are. A bottom line NHLer is an incredibly elite athlete. But as part of a hockey podcast, I'm just going to give my opinion. But I don't personally dislike anybody. So they have Cole Caulfield there, right? And he's, you know, he's young. And obviously, I think that he's going to be taking the mantle from Carey Price as the face of the organization. But who else do they have?
I think Nick Suzuki. And then you got just, you know, depth players.
Two guys.
Not, yeah.
You know? So, you know, I feel for the guy. I just think that he's been under an incredible amount of stress. And you know what? Oh, this sure. might be time for him to just like, hey, you know what? This was a great time in my life, but it's over. I mean, look at Taze. You know, look at the amount of stress he's been under playing in Chicago the past, you know, decade, past 12 yeah, years. You know,
he's not a goaltender.
He's not even a goaltender. And yeah, his body just started shutting down on him. And he's like, I don't know what it is. I'm just, and he's just trying to do his thing. But his body's like, nope, that's not going to happen. Yeah.
No. In the end, man, it's just a game. Yeah. And they're getting paid good money to do it. But like, it doesn't matter. You don't know what's going on inside of a guy's head. He can, like Carey Price, he's probably got a couple homes. He's got a pretty good looking wife. Great. Probably got nice kids. And, you know, he just plays starting goalie for the Montreal Canadiens and he's still having, you know, issues in his head and just goes to show you it doesn't matter. Yeah. And you don't know what's going on in someone's head.
Yeah. And if any player out there is listening to this, if you feel that, don't feel that you have any obligation to any fan base to put your health and your well-being on the line for everybody else's entertainment, because you know I don't really stand for that. If Taves came out and was like, you know what, I can't do this anymore, I'm going freaking crazy, you know, I just can't do it anymore, I respect that, man. You know,
well, look at Andrew Shaw. Yeah. It's kind of similar.
Well, that's more concussion issues though.
Well, that guy was blocking shots with his face, and you know, he was doing anything he could to, you know, win the game, and like, fans love that. Yeah. they see the, like, just the guts and stuff it takes. Yeah. And when Shaw blocked that shot with his face, what was that, against Boston? Yeah. And that, he became a legend in the city because of that. Yeah. And
you know what?
I mean, now the poor kid is, he's got to be close to 30. Yeah. And he's got to retire already. It's sad because he was such an entertaining player to watch.
Yeah. And you know what? When he announced his retirement, I was really, really happy because, you know, he's a legend, man. And I don't want to see this guy when he's 45 years old sitting in a wheelchair, you know, and he can't walk right because of his time in the game. Same thing with Siebes, man. You know, he had to have two hip surgeries and a shoulder surgery right after each other for everything that he did. You know, I was glad when he retired too, you know. I know I said that he was slow and all that shit, but I mean, I think anybody would be slow if they had his hips.
He was slow, and Keith.
Well, he had two bad hips. That's why.
That's my favorite. My favorite phrase with Keith and Seabrook: you got fast and stupid, and smart and slow. It just worked. the pairing, yeah. And that's what they guys played big minutes, and it's from it's amazing. Keith is still going. That's the amazing thing.
Yeah, from the Tomahawk, man, I you know, I wish Carey Price the best, and I hope everything works out for him. And you know what, I think Robin Lehner is really spearheading this mental health thing, and pushing it in the right direction, so that, you know, players can feel free to to speak up and speak out on where they are. But moving on, we're going to talk, give you some Blackhawks news now. The Blackhawks made some, they made some cuts recently. Nine players heading to the Ice Hogs: Brett Connolly, Jake Kapoor, Josiah Slavin. Josiah Slavin actually stuck around a little bit longer than I thought he was going to. Michael Tepley, Andre, I'm going to butcher this guy's name, Alti Barmakian, Lucas Reichel, Louis Crevier, Isaac Phillips, and Michael Krudel. Now, notable among these two are Brett Connolly and Lucas Reichel. I think Connolly's got a $3.5 million cap hit. Him going down to the Ice Hogs is going to bring that cap hit down to, I believe, $1.5 million. And Reichel is going to be getting some, I think, some top-minute ice time down there, because I think he's been playing very, very well in the preseason. I think that he's playing good enough to show that he belongs. But I think that he needs to get used to the rigors of playing professional hockey in North America. And I think that he's going to get that experience on playing top line minutes down in Rockford. And I'm sure that he'll make the team next year if he develops any further than how he is now. But I thought that he looked really good. Connolly, it's really unfortunate, you know, this veteran's got to go down to the AHL. But you know what, man, I just don't see a spot for him, you know, on this team, because we've got so many young kids with talent, you know, Entwistle, you know, Hardman's been really pushing to make this team. Gaudette has made some really big steps, to take his game a step further. Obviously, we've got Hagel from last year, and Strom is trying to make it tough. Connolly is putting a solid effort out there, trying to make it. You know, there's just too much. There's just too many guys, you know, and I hope that this doesn't turn into a situation like how we had with Daniel, where we're looking for one certain type of player and we're letting other players go that could fill a big role for us later on. You know, do you see any guys that you would really like to see make the team?
I would have liked to see Reichel make it, but I think in the end it was the right decision. I mean, you want him to play a lot. Like, you want him to be the man down in Rockford. Right. And Connolly, yeah, that's just we had to take that contract on when we got Stillman and the other kid, was Borgstrom or something.
Yeah, Borgstrom and Stillman.
Yeah, and that was the price. You want Stillman, you got to take this contract. And so we did. And, you know, I mean, it's like you said, we have a lot of depth now. There's really no place for him. So he's pretty much going to be in Rockford, or maybe somebody will, he cleared, right?
Yeah, he cleared.
So nobody wants to pay a guy like that. You know, he's a Stanley Cup champ, but yeah, sorry, buddy. There's too much competition, and that's a good thing. Got a lot of guys competing for spots, and they're, you know, guys are playing good. I'm just curious to see what they do with Strom, because he is just not looking good at all.
Yeah, I think that he's giving quite a bit of effort. You know, I will give him that, but I just don't see a spot for him, man. You know, I think he's
having... Yeah, effort is good, but if you don't produce, that's all that matters in the end.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, because, you know, he had some, some good games, you know, and obviously, with the situation that we were put in last year with Taser, you know, being out and him just not seizing that situation, you know, I just don't see a spot for him on here, especially considering he can't play a wing. I think Juju Kyra has been playing really, really well, man. I like Entwistle. I think Entwistle plays smart. He plays hard. He hits guys. And Gaudette, he's just a guy with a motor. And he's out there and he's putting it all out there. And I just don't see these things from, you don't see these things from Strom. He can't really play physical. Nope. Is he going to set somebody up? He's due for some lucky goals, because I'll tell you what, man, a lot of goals that he scores are some really nifty, lucky ones, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like last year's, that first one, remember, off the boards right to him, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know who we have to talk about is Nylander.
Yeah.
And the rumor is they're going to Wave him.
I was going to bring him and Borgstrom up.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, he really hasn't done anything. When I watch him, I feel like I'm watching a guy that thinks he's so good and he doesn't need to hustle.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. He doesn't produce.
Yeah.
And the coach is saying, oh, well, he fought an injury all season. It's hard to come back. Well, what was his excuse the last 2 years before that? Yeah. He just wasn't. He it just been a bust. It was a bust of a trade. If Buffalo got rid of you, there's something wrong because he could have been he would have been an important piece there with Eichel and all those guys, but they knew what they were doing. He's nothing like his brother in Toronto. And so that's why they let him go for Yokiharu, which I was excited for Yokiharu to be on this team. And we give up on prospects too soon. Funny that we're making fun of Dylan Strome. He just put a power play goal in right now against the Wild.
He does these things, man. He does this kind of stuff.
So he just probably saved his job by getting one goal.
I'm just ready to cut it off. You know, I'm just ready.
Well, I give him credit. I'm watching the replay. He won the faceoff, got it to the point. Actually, Kirby Dach fired it. Kirby Dach was at the point, fired it, and Strome tipped it. Not a bad goal at all. Okay. So
we know Juju can do that too.
Yeah, well, who knows, man? I'm sure he's excited, but I just don't know where you're gonna put him. What do you do with him?
I just don't see a path forward with Nylander. I to be honest with you, I think he's a bust. I haven't heard really anything from Yokiharu in Buffalo either.
No, you don't hear much about Buffalo except Eichel's neck. That's about it.
You should see these guys on Twitter today, man. I just put out, you know, like, where does Buffalo go from here? And they're like, we'll trade Eichel when we're ready to trade him. We're not on anybody's timetable. And it's like, what Kool-Aid are you guys drinking down there? You know, this guy.
You guys control the rights to the trading?
Yeah, this guy is, you know, he's pushing. He's got all the leverage, you know. They should have traded him beforehand. They have all the leverage. These guys are trying to tell me they didn't have any leverage. It's like, no, man. I don't know what you guys are watching or what you're drinking, man. But
$10 million a year. You have to pay him. He's got a list of people he wants to go to.
To pay him $10 million to be hurt.
And his neck isn't right. So who's going to take that?
No kidding.
He should have. Who knows, man? I think he's going to end up getting his surgery. Maybe he'll come back with Buffalo next year, because who would take that? I'm sorry. They'll have like a forgiveness party no one's going to take on that trade. They'd be crazy to. It's too risky, man.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? High risk, high reward. You know, you never know what could happen there. He's obviously a great player with a ton of talent when he's healthy. You know, to be honest with you, if this is what he wants to do, I say, why not, man? Now, this surgery hasn't been done on a hockey player yet, but when do we draw the line? When do we say, okay, when do we start doing things that haven't been done before?
Make him sign a waiver or something, you know, say, hey, listen, we're going to let you get the surgery, but if you can't play, we're not going to pay you because we don't agree with it, but I'm sure the players union,
it's a void of contract.
It could be. I mean, if their doctors are saying we don't recommend this, and maybe get an opinion to another NHL club
coming out from Robin Lehner, the Buffalo Sabres medical staff isn't to be trusted.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
And especially from the reports and how they dealt with his high ankle injury that he had. And to be honest with you, man, you know, maybe Eichel has seen these things and he's like, I don't fucking trust you guys. And I'm not following your advice. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe the NHL should do an investigation on Buffalo.
I think that that might be in order, to be honest with you. I could have sworn Bettman made a statement.
I don't know, man. I would let Eichel get his surgery and say, listen, this is the first time an NHL player is going to do this. You're gambling a lot, and we are too, because we're paying you a lot of money.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, maybe, I mean, maybe even cut the salary down a certain percentage. But if he's not playing, do you think it's fair for him to get that money?
Well, I mean, he got hurt in service of Buffalo, so that kind of comes with the contract, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean?
I guess. Yeah, I guess. But
I mean, we could say that you know, maybe they shouldn't pay him, but I mean, it's not like he got hurt snowboarding somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He got hurt because of hockey. Right. Yeah.
And you know, that's the cost of business, to be honest with you. But I mean, they've just completely blown this whole situation. You know, to be honest with you, he wants to get the surgery because they say that later on in there's less risk of injury later on. And if that's the case, you know, in a way, dude, it's kind of his body. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't want medical professionals making a decision on my body just because it benefits them as an organization. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that. I don't want anyone telling me what I should do. Even politicians telling me what's good for me. You don't know.
Yeah. So that's pretty much all that I got for today, man. Really interesting stuff going on. But the season is starting next week. Can't wait. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be tons of games on. I don't know if everybody else has been watching, but ESPN and TNT has had a ton of coverage. Well, normally when they have games on at night, they're on like all night. And they usually start from some Eastern Conference coverage. And then when those games end, they go to the Western Conference coverage. And ESPN Plus specifically has had tons of games on when I have checked. So there's going to be a lot of hockey on. It's really, really awesome. And I'm really looking forward to it. Have you checked out ESPN Plus yet?
I have not checked it out. I'm an NHL net guy. I am more of, give me the highlights. Do they still have goals. Yeah, I got NHL Network on. I was thinking the live look-ins. They do the live look-ins on a power play. Yeah, a goalie's been pulled at the last minute of the game like that.
I was thinking
but it was... I'm sorry. I can't really get into preseason because you're not putting your best product on the ice. You're getting your guys out there to get in game shape. And you're putting them in different scenarios like, hey, all right, it's 5-on-4. Get out there and show me what you got on the penalty kill. Stuff like that. And then you got tryouts for some guys. So, I mean, they're just trying to, you know, see what they got, putting chemistry together, developing all that. And I can't get into, like, I can't take it serious. And these shootouts after the game, I don't like that either. Come on.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I think it's good practice for...
I hate the shootout.
To be honest with you, I was really excited for preseason this year because I wanted to see some players that the Blackhawks have in the system, for sure. To see how they're doing. Normally, I'm not a preseason guy at all, but this year we just have an abundance of new people and new players, young players coming up, making some first time appearances. I was really excited to see how they were doing.
There's nothing like an opening night roster, who made the team, and like you're looking at your lineup, and then it just sucks we got to play Colorado because that's gonna, and I hope we win. That would be a huge wake-up call to the NHL, like, oh man, the Hawks are for real.
I'm calling
even just skate with
I'm
them
I'm calling
you know?
A 4-3 win Hawks.
Wow. Well, you know what, Kemper, you never know. Yeah. He's a good goalie. Yeah. He is, and now he's got an offense in front of him. Yeah. But I think Grubauer is better.
Yeah, I do too.
But Grubauer costed too much money, and they wanted to give their captain that money. So it's gonna be a little different for Colorado.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah. But I want to jump back to the shootout real quick.
Oh, yeah, go on.
I think that we need to get rid of that. I really do. I think we should make the overtime 10 minutes, 3-on-3, and we won't have shootout issues anymore. I just don't like it. And I also think if you make it to overtime, you don't deserve a point. Winner gets two, no matter what. Loser gets nothing.
Yeah,
I don't like the third point
thing. I like the idea of the shootout because sometimes if you get a team like Calgary, you know, playing Phoenix, you know, that game could go on for 2 days.
Well. 10 minutes, 3-on-3. Yeah. Someone's scoring, dude. Someone scored. And most likely, 5 minutes. 5 minutes, majority. That 5 minute 3-on-3 is a way of saying, listen, we want the game to end in a goal, not a shootout. Right. So they're doing everything they can.
What about extending that to 7 minutes?
Well, they could do that, but or they can even do a five and then another five. But players are going to, you know, start getting like, geez, we didn't sign this. We didn't sign up for this, right. You know, but you need a winner. So you don't want those 1990s ties going to a game and watching Belfour take on Patrick Waugh and 60 shots each and the game is 1-1 and you walk away like, geez, that sucked. Nobody won.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's brutal. Or was brutal.
It was. And the playoffs are great because you know you're getting a winner no matter what. That's what they should just do in the season. Get even do a 5-on-5 overtime. Well, no, 4-on-4 and then jump to 3-on-3. No. 3-on-3 is great. I love 3-on-3. You could really see like the skill from these guys, like Kane on the ice with DeBrincat. Yeah. It's almost like it's terrifying if you're a goalie. I'm like, oh, even as a player,
because you,
a defenseman, you're alone out there.
One step and you're completely out of position. Do you know what I mean?
Like McDavid give McDavid 5 feet, he's gonna turn the Jets on and you're done.
Yeah,
you have no chance.
Right.
So
I'm a fan of the shootout, man. I like it. I think it's cool.
Man, I hate it.
You got anything else?
No, man, I'm glad we talked about Carey Price, so I hope
he's all right.
He gets his head right and his body right, because I know there's physical pain and mental pain probably, and just taking a step back will help a little bit. You know, like even, you know, they give you that 2 weeks vacation when you're at work and just time to recharge, and that's what he needs, because the Stanley Cup playoffs, man, they're brutal.
Yeah.
And he carried that team. And they played
every game carried them.
They made it to the final and they, you know, they played well against the champs, but you know, there's no way they were going to beat them, but he did his best, man. Even Shea Weber, they did awesome. And they just ran into a powerhouse. That's all.
Yeah. Shea Weber went out on
and they
shield.
Beat a couple powerhouses just to get there, which was impressive.
Yeah.
So I hope he gets his head right and enjoys some time off, and it's well deserved.
Yeah. All right, everybody, that's all that we got. Do us a favor, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. And we're going to be doing some analysis after the game, doing a Tomahawk post-game show. Find us on Twitter Live. And we'll see you guys next time. This is a Tomahawk. We're out of here.